Influencers is brought to you by
Joint Care, supplements to keep you active. Sawyer Studios, located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road West. Global Transformation Media, transforming you from the inside out. The Affirmation Nation. And Guardian Talk Radio. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. Welcome to Influencers on Guardian Talk Radio, 96.9 FM, and I'm your host, Lady Shima. The show is a platform to highlight the transformational impact of global and national influencers who use the power of their influence to promote positive change. We also bring focused attention to the personal stories of influencers with the hope that their tenacity in the face of hard-hitting challenges and their unrelenting resilience will inspire the comeback spirit in every local and international listener. And today, we delve into the mind of a noted internal medicine physician whose name quickly garnered prominence on a national level with her valiant role in combating the spread of COVID-19 within the Bahamas. March 15th, 2020, marks the date of the first officially reported case of COVID-19 in country, with the latest number of cases being just over 33,000. Within this number is a special grouping of persons who later developed what is called long COVID or long haulers. But who are these COVID survivors who comprise this special grouping? And what exactly is unique about what they face? Today, I speak with influencer Dr. Nakia Forbes, director of the National HIV AIDS and Infectious Disease Program at the Ministry of Health and Wellness, and she is the infectious disease consultant at the Princess Margaret Hospital and Doctors Hospital, as we discuss the topic, COVID-19 survivors, in for the long haul. All this and more when we return here on Influencers on Guardian Talk Radio, 96.9 FM.
Hey, Dad, want a race?
Well, let's see who's trying to keep up with who today.
Oh, because you need a head start?
I'm already way ahead of you, son.
Keep up with what matters. Joint Care supplements your active lifestyle by supporting your bones, cartilage, muscles with essential nutrients. Joint Care helps to reduce inflammation with omega-3 and replenishes glucosamine, a natural compound vital to healthy cartilage and joints. Choose the Joint Care formula that is right for you. Supplex, Complete, and Max are available at your local pharmacy. Joint Care, a part of the Seven Seas family of vitamins and supplements.
Need your picture taken? Well, if you want it to look its best, then go to the best. It's Sawyer Studios, capturing your special events, portraits, passport, job, and visa photos. Plus, there's more. Also offering professional printing services of business cards, letterheads, signs, and banners. Opened Monday to Saturday, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's a legacy. 28 years and growing. Located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road. Call 361-7786. ACG Wholesale is the answer for retail grocery store owners and everyday shoppers who want to save big. ACG carries a variety of drinks, snacks, meat products, essential dry goods like rice and yellow grits, plus lots of wholesome produce. And ACG Wholesale is a proud distributor of Borden's Milk. Opened Monday to Saturday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located next to Phoenix Supermarkets on East Street South. Call 392-1155. That's ACG Wholesale with quality service and great prices.
Welcome back to Influencers. I'm your host, Lady Shima, and with me today is influencer Dr. Nakia Forbes, the director of the National HIV AIDS and Infectious Disease Program at the Ministry of Health and Wellness. As we discuss the topic, COVID-19 survivors in for the long haul. Good afternoon and welcome to the show, Dr. Nakia.
Thank you, Lady Shima. It's a pleasure to be here with you. Thank you for inviting me today.
Thank you. And I've had the privilege and pleasure of reading up quite a bit on you and very, very, very impressive what it is that you've accomplished thus far. But I want to take the listeners all the way back. I always love to give them a little bit of an insight on the influencers of the influencer, right? And so I'll just take us all the way back to your earlier years as a teenager growing up and even as a child. You come from a very, very strong and solid family structure and background. Talk a bit about the influence and the impact of coming from that kind of a background.
Well, thanks. You're right. I was brought up by parents that always believed in doing the right thing and hard work and having integrity and telling the truth and contributing to your community and doing the best you can for all. So I can't say thank you enough for the hard work that they did in raising me and my brother and all of the characteristics that they passed on. And, and I can't say enough what good, decent people they are.
So, what are some of the characteristics that they would have passed on that's actually impacted the kind of outstanding professional you are today?
Well, let's start with my mom. She's a very kind woman. Anyone who knows her knows that she's kind. She there's basically nothing she won't do for you. She's very loving, but she also has a very firm side.
I'm
you don't see that very often, but you know, she's very no nonsense. She's always been someone who's giving, very charitable, has a listening ear. She has a very warm spirit. They both have a very good work ethic.
Okay.
They had a grocery store for a number of years. And as a matter of fact, they probably spent more than 25 years running that grocery store.
Oh, wow. 25 years.
Yeah. A very long time. And they showed up there every day, did the best they could, were part of the community, hardworking, honest, intelligent. People never took advantage of anyone. It was the kind of store where you could go into and say you didn't know, say you were not from around there or not from there and didn't know currency, you could just hand over whatever money was in your hand. They'll take out the amount, give you the right amount of change, helps people in need. I don't think my dad ever took a sick day from that store. I think he was there every day. And, you know, they're just decent people, always tell the truth and always do what's right. And, you know, that's not always easy in this world.
No, it's not. Definitely not. You know, and I just really wanted to ask that question. Thank you, Dr. Forbes. And it's because, you know, sometimes we look at these outstanding influencers of our day, and there are times that we don't even stop to think about their foundation and what exactly made them the person who they are today, even if they, you know, might be challenges or overcoming obstacles or just a good bottom seat that you have had. So thank you for giving us a little bit of an insight and, you know, giving us some lens into a little bit of your background there. And even since your earlier years, you had this natural inclination towards wanting to help persons, particularly those persons who were not feeling well. You always wanted to help people to be and to feel better, right? And so there was sort of a clear cut path, I guess, of the kind of destiny that was before you. So talk a bit about that, as well as your matriculation through high school and then later on down medical school. Talk a bit about that journey for us.
Well, thanks for asking. I don't really get a lot of these personal questions a lot. Really just about
COVID. This is about the influencer. Yeah, we want to get to know a little bit more about you before we get into those hard topics.
Okay. So I always liked the sciences. That it started with that. And I also did like doing whatever I could around the home to help persons who were, say, injured. I remember wanting to learn more about the sciences from when I was in sixth grade. And I got a chance. I remember I got a chance to go to science club 1 year early. They had an after school science club.
Yes.
You could go in sixth grade and you could join the high school on one day a week. And so it was so fascinating. By the time I was in ninth grade, I thought that I wanted to be a doctor and learn medicine. And that's what ended up happening.
And that's exactly how it started.
Yeah. So when I was in high school, you had to do community service as a part of graduation requirements. And I got to be a yellowbird at the Princess Margaret Hospital. I would get to volunteer after school, and sometimes I would get to go on the wards. And, and so I guess I got some early exposure to our hospital.
You most definitely did. And that's exactly what really sort of spurred on the person that you are today. It started really early on.
So I had an interest in medicine, and there were people who helped me along the way.
Okay.
There were doctors who invited me to come to their office during summer breaks and observe them in their practice, or took me on rounds, for example, and talked to me about medicine and studying medicine and helped to support me and provide that kind of encouragement and sponsorship and mentorship. And that's very important when we think about young persons in the broader context and how their careers will develop. Mm-hmm. Mentorship is a very, very important part.
It is. You know, and as a matter of fact, you're leading me right on into my next question, because I'm about to ask you about exactly that. And that is mentorship. You know, the name Dr. Perry Gomez comes to mind. And there are names that come to mind, too, when I think about my mentors. And I'm very appreciative of what it is that they have done and the major contributions that they have made to my life. And so talk about those mentors in the medical field, like a Dr. Perry Gomez and probably others that you would like to name as well.
Yes. Well, thanks for that. So I did do medical school at the University of the West Indies.
Okay.
And when I did my first part of my basic sciences, that's where you learn anatomy, biochemistry, pharmacology.
I remember those.
Yeah. After that, you get to do clinical rotations, so pediatric medicine, obstetrics, gynecology, surgery. I came here to the Bahamas to do that in our very own University of the West Indies School of Clinical Medicine and Research program. And then I did my internship in the Bahamas here at Princess Margaret Hospital. And we do have a very good, robust internship program. In those days, there was lots of opportunity to get hands-on training, to deliver babies, to do procedures, and to get experience on wards, seeing patients and learning from senior doctors. And that's what did happen. Mm-hmm. And it was a very robust and wide training.
Mm-hmm.
And I did get to round on the infectious diseases wards. Mm-hmm. I learned a lot about HIV medicine and other infections. And then when I went on to specialize after my internship, I went to Jamaica. I went to the University of the West Indies, Mona. And for those who know the history of Mona, Mona is deep rooted in history and culture. And it has roots all the way back to medical institutions in England, like Oxford and Cambridge. And they really have a good foundation of basic medical science. And do you know that when I went to do my residency, I had already done many procedures that doctors didn't get a chance to do hands-on because
there were
large numbers in those campuses. And I had already had so much experience seeing patients just because of how much work we had to do at Princess Margaret. I was very quite equipped. And I remember that my teachers there were happy that, you know, you came with this experience that you were a safe doctor and that you, you already had a lot of hands-on experiencing managing certain patients and conditions. And so by that time that I started my specialty, I had had at least 6 months of rotations on
6 months
adult medicine. Yes. Which was a lot for a first year resident in training and knowledge about HIV medicine. And so I was also given opportunities to work in their infectious diseases clinic just about every week, because I already had such a great knowledge of how to manage patients with infectious disease issues and HIV and advanced HIV. So
it sounds I got
a lot of hours of training. And it was something that I liked and enjoyed doing. And there was a lot of stigma and discrimination around HIV at that time. And be able to sit and talk to the patients and give them time and give them the care that they deserve to help navigate the system to get them better. I really enjoyed it. And
it sounds like you are very proud, Dr. Forbes, of the foundation and the internship experience that you had at PMH, especially the internship opportunities and experience. Would you be equally as proud as to what it is today for those persons who would be going through their own internship experiences now?
Yes. Let me tell you, so sometimes in life, what you get out of it is what you put in.
What you put in.
Yeah, that's the case in a lot of situations, you know. And so in coming home to PMH all those years ago, I would say that in many ways it was in its junior phases with medical education. And you did have to put in a lot of energy to get experience. You had to go to classes from early in the morning, which is very usual in medical school round. There were on-call days. We used to take call in addition to our on-call days. on other days to get experience, go to the emergency room and see what was happening there. And we need to look at things like our unconscious bias. Sometimes we think that, you know, what is our own is somehow not as good as what could be offered some other places, but that's absolutely not true. If you put a lot into it, you will get a lot of experience out of it. Mm-hmm. And you will be able to learn a lot. And with that knowledge, you can carry it with you to mm-hmm. other training opportunities. For example, mm-hmm. I got a chance to go to Jamaica and I did a residency there. And then I did a subspecialization in infectious diseases. And that was in many other places. That included the United States and Canada. That included the University of South Carolina. Mm-hmm. And it included the University of Toronto, mm-hmm. the Hospital for Sick Children and the Transplant Hospital at the University of Toronto, which is one of the number within the top five transplant centers in the world.
Wow. And so what I'm hearing from you is that we can actually celebrate what it is that we have here in the Bahamas in terms of an educational training background for doctors, physicians.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And there are residents now. I mean, now I have the privilege of being able to give back and teach at our medical school. And there are so many dedicated doctors that they are world class. They are great. They are as good as any other resident or medical student that comes out of a U.S. training program, having matriculated through some of these places. And they take their exams and they easily match into these other institutions. And they are doing well. They're highly commended. They are safe, knowledgeable, smart, kind, empathetic doctors. And they are being snapped up by residency and specialty programs abroad. So absolutely, we can produce good doctors.
Yes.
Our university for our people. Absolutely.
I'm very glad to hear that we have that kind of strong, you know, educational foundation here in the country that we can be very, very proud of. And that can actually help to prepare, you know, physicians to perform at a level of excellence just about anywhere around the world. So that's great news to hear, especially from Dr. Nikia Forbes. Thank you very much for that. Let's just make a little bit of a segue and a transition here in the show and talking a bit more about what's going on with COVID-19 in country currently. Of course, you've been, for the most part, a voice, a very loud voice and a strong component advocate, pardon me, for vaccination in the country. Why is this? Why is this for you personally, as Dr. Nikia Forbes, and the role in the title that you hold?
Thanks. That's a multi-layered question.
It is.
I'm going to try and unpack it. So where are we in the COVID-19 pandemic? Let's start with that. So as you correctly said, in mid-March, we will have been 2 years in fighting COVID-19
yeah.
in the Bahamas and in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just reading a term today. It's the pandemic that came and never went away.
Wow.
Right?
I sometimes ask myself, will it ever go away?
So basically, where did we come from? We mm-hmm. came from a virus, a new virus.
Mm-hmm.
People didn't have immunity to it. Mm-hmm. What does that translate into? You've heard me say before, what's the news you can use? It means if you don't have immunity to it, it's brand new. If it's very serious, and it was, primarily if it attacks your lungs, you could die because you won't be able to get enough oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
And it caused a rapid outbreak. And in the beginning, there was a lot of efforts to get it to go away. Now, there were other viruses like it that did indeed go away. The first SARS and MERS did disappear. And so the strategy at that time was to save as many lives as possible until this virus would go away. But it didn't go away. It became evident that this was here to stay.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
And what did we see? We saw that strains of the virus emerged. Some were more contagious, some were more deadly. We got a Delta strain that was more deadly and more contagious.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people died from COVID. Let's not understate that. 2 years in, you know, first let me say the human condition is, you know, you can be desensitized to trauma and pain. it's part of the human condition.
That's a part of what's going on right now with us, I believe.
There's trauma. Mm-hmm. There's only so much of it that your psyche can take. You can get desensitized.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Now, here's the reality of just how impactful COVID was in terms of deaths and lives lost. Mm-hmm. 5.9 million people have died, lab confirmed. Okay. In our deadliest wave, hundreds of Bahamians died, more than 700 in the Delta wave. I was reading an article. It came out a couple of days ago. There are 5.2 million either orphans or children who have lost one parent to COVID from all of this. Can you imagine the fallout? Mm-hmm. And so COVID was deadly. Mm-hmm. And it can still be deadly to some persons who get it.
Yes.
Now, we've made progress at a tremendous rate, We have made advancements in therapies and treatments, prevention. Scientists studied it and found out how it was spread. And a vaccine, multiple vaccine candidates and vaccines were created that did protect you from getting the original COVID strain, but the virus changed. Mm-hmm. And now it protects you from being hospitalized or dying. Mm-hmm. And that's very, very important. So what do we do now, 2 years in? COVID is not going away. It's always going to be here. This is not the same as the beginning of the outbreak, where there was a deadly virus. We didn't know anything about it. How could it be treated? How do you prevent it? Were there any medications? We know that if you don't want to die of COVID or end up in the hospital, you know these are the steps you can take to protect yourself and loved ones. And you also know that you can get vaccinated so that if you get it, Lady Shima, you'll experience it like a cold or a flu. Vaccinated persons getting COVID is generally somewhere between the severity of getting a cold or a flu. However, why are scientists pushing vaccination? You know, the virus changed. You can still get COVID, especially these newer strains like Omicron. If you're vaccinated, well, it's because good scientific data and real world experience. More than half of the planet has gotten a COVID vaccine. Good data shows that if you are vaccinated, it will help you experience COVID if you get it, like a cold or a flu. If you are not vaccinated, you take your chances. It may be mild, but it could be that you end up in the hospital.
And this is what this data is showing concerning persons who are vaccinated opposed to persons who are unvaccinated. This is what the data shows us.
Absolutely. So let me say that again. Now, you may, if you're not vaccinated, it is possible that you can experience it mild symptoms. But when we talk about mild, we mean you don't end up in the hospital. You're still going to feel really, really sick. Okay?
Okay.
That you could have a mild case, but you'll still feel very, very sick. Okay? However, it is very possible, and the odds are very, very high. In some studies, more than 20 times, upward of 50 times, that you will end up in the hospital if you're not vaccinated. So that's why we keep trying to spread the facts about how this vaccine, for example, can protect you and what other measures you can take to protect yourself from COVID-19. And then there's this COVID long hauler syndrome, which I know you want to talk about too. We are proponents of the vaccine. So that was that part of your question that you'd asked me about that. And then you talked about COVID being here and not going away. Yes, it's going to be here as a circulating respiratory virus. We can't expect that there's going to be times where the numbers pick up and then it can go back down. And there are things that are going to influence that. Like one, new strains that could be more contagious, travel of those strains around the world. They're spread by people and travel. Our travel behavior, visitors, gatherings, for example, holidays. We saw there was a surge after the holiday period.
As expected, yes.
This time, this year, we didn't have the same scenario last year. Much of the world was curbing their holiday activities. Mm-hmm. And we can't expect that. We absolutely can't expect that it's going to go in waves. And it's always going to be here as some sort of circulating. Mm-hmm. We call it endemic, like a respiratory virus, something somewhat like the flu.
Some of these people are called conspiracy theorists, and some persons, you know, just your regular pundit, right? But what would you say to those persons who say or who suggest that maybe you are an operative of the WHO or the CDC? I have heard this before. Would you like to speak to that, please? I found it is a very interesting perspective.
Well, the CDC is the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in the United States. They're a health agency. I'm not employed by them. The World Health Organization is, it's also an expert health agency. I'm also not employed by the WHO. I'm employed by the Bahamas Ministry of Health. I am a consultant physician in infectious diseases and internal medicine. I work primarily at the Princess Margaret Hospital. I also do provide consult services and care for my patients at Doctors Hospital. I'm a part of the academic faculty at the University of the West Indies. And that is my job at this time.
Yes, thank you very much for reiterating that and reminding all listeners of these very facts. Yes, right? Because it is just so very interesting sometimes the direction in which some people's mind would go. And even dealing with such a serious situation as a pandemic and having caused many deaths, up to about 771 here in the Bahamas. And I just really wanted to give you the opportunity to speak to specifically and precisely that. Thank you very much for answering the question. I just want to begin to move and to segue towards the main focus of our conversation for today. Of course, our topic is COVID-19 survivors in for the long haul. But right before going towards that particular topic and talking about that specifically, which will be the focus for the next 35 minutes thereabouts, let's talk about the relaxation of the safety protocols. The Ministry of Health and Wellness announced adjustments in the health and safety protocols effective February the 20th, 2022, of course, and these recent adjustments impact the church gatherings, social gatherings, when you go to exercise. Of course, large gatherings, those events are still being prohibited at this time. But what are your thoughts and feelings from the position that you sit with these recent changes?
It's a great question. And this is a good segue into your part of the show where we talk about learning to live with COVID. Mm-hmm. And I'll take up from where I left off in terms of where we're in a different and better place now, yes. 2 years into COVID-19. Okay. We know a lot more about the spread, how we can stop the spread. We know more about prevention too. And we have ways to reduce death from COVID. And those are treatments that we've worked hard to get, and also vaccines. And we're in a much better place. So vaccines for COVID rolled out somewhere in 2021, early 2021. They were in clinical trials very, very early. Mm-hmm. And different countries are in different places as it relates to what percentage of their population has been vaccinated. And we have to consider a lot of things when we talk about learning to live with COVID-19. Okay. So that's the background. Mm-hmm. Let's try and make it a little simpler. We do need to learn to live with COVID-19. We can start to get back to normalcy.
Okay.
And there are a lot of things one has to consider when we look at the situation and restrictions being rolled back and the removing of legislature and punitive laws around COVID safety precautions, basically, lack of a better term. Mm-hmm. So cases are low in the Bahamas right now. You'd asked about the current situation. We have had four waves of COVID-19. The last Omicron wave was in December. It's come, the wave has flattened. The curve has come down nicely to a very low point. One day in the last week of February, we only had three cases on one day. And so absolutely, okay. We can. Yes, that was very low. Mm-hmm. And all the other parameters are following that. The hospital admissions are low, deaths are low. And so it is good to adapt and to roll back restrictions. So as you can see, the Ministry of Health has announced that there will be the rollback of restrictions. There could be more persons allowed at church services, funeral services. There could be indoor dining, for example. Travel restrictions could be more flexible, mm-hmm. for example. And it's a good thing. Now, countries all have to look at their how they roll back restrictions, and they have to adapt it to their COVID situation. The number of cases in country,
okay.
You have to look at the total vaccine coverage,
mm-hmm.
You have to look at the ability of your healthcare system to be able to respond, and how resilient your healthcare system is should you have a surge and a wave of COVID, and your public health system and your government to respond to if you have a surge.
All and when of those considering all of those things, we are in a condition and in a place where these recent adjustments are okay with what we are currently yes. experiencing.
They are okay. Yes. But now you will hear that there are some countries that are, their restrictions are rolling back at a faster rate, right?
Okay.
And their situation is most certainly different. They may have larger, higher vaccine coverage.
Mm-hmm.
They may have a more robust or more tertiary healthcare institutions, more ventilators, more hospitals that can manage sick persons, more hospital beds. They may have a more equipped and staffed contact tracing
mm-hmm.
unit, for example.
Okay.
They could have other technology available for real-time contact tracing. You know, there are some apps you could put on your phone. There are some wristbands that some countries use that you will be alerted very quickly if you were at high risk or put into contact. And so we have to consider that. And that is a logical, reasonable, smart approach based on your context. And that's what people need to understand, that okay. when public health doctors and health experts who are in positions where you have to weigh policy and make decisions related to infectious disease threats, you have to weigh these things based on your own local context. So if you make the wrong decision and take a context for a patient, country that is better equipped for a surge, but if you end up in a surge, for example, we have basically the Princess Margaret is the largest referral center. We mm-hmm. see that we are quite overwhelmed in a COVID surge, and that non-COVID care like elective surgeries, clinics, x-ray, the pharmacy, all of those things are vulnerable in a COVID surge. So we have to be measured, and the best health decision has to be made for all to protect lives and to preserve health. And all things we, just 1 minute. And all okay. things we do also have to balance
mm-hmm.
other things like socialization, the economy, mm-hmm. other the other fallout when restrictions are stringent. For example, if there's no school, if there's online school, there's going to be a fallout. If there's a complete 24-hour curfew, people are going to need to work and have their livelihoods.
Okay.
So it's very, very important. And we remember that it's a balancing act.
Mm-hmm.
Now, please keep in mind that in the beginning of the pandemic, we were not here. It was an outbreak virus where we knew very little about it, where there were no treatment modalities, there were no vaccines, and many lives are being lost. And so all countries around the world took very stringent measures, including 24-hour curfews, with the hope that the virus could be eliminated and that as many lives could be saved as possible. But in all things, change happens. You have to learn to adjust and change. And that is how one has to approach
mm-hmm.
life situations and be able to make amendments based upon the best available information and knowledge mm-hmm. that you have at the time. And that summarizes the global approach that has happened with COVID-19. Scientists have had to shift based upon things that they learned
okay.
about the new virus.
So we need to learn how to adapt to change on a continuous basis. And with that said, the question that I was about to ask you is that, is this something that we're going to have to expect that's just going to be ongoing for the rest of our lives, where we're going to have to continue to tweak and change and adjust according to what's going on at the with the virus at any one given time? This is just it for the rest of our lives.
No. So we're going to have better immunity. We already have better immunity to COVID than we did in the beginning of the outbreak.
Okay.
So we have vaccines and we have natural infection, and the virus also did change. Luckily, Omicron became a less severe variant. So we our immunity is improving. And as we get exposed with immunity, the fallout in terms of deaths is lower. So like I said, if COVID is experienced like a cold or a flu, if it's a nuisance, then
okay.
It's not as serious as a new virus that's people cannot breathe for example. So it will not always be that high level of restrictions and all of the stringent measures that were around COVID in the beginning. No, we shouldn't expect that at all. So this is going to pretty much become a circulating virus that we're going to have to get used to. And the good thing is there are ways to protect ourselves. The vaccines are one way. For example, there's a flu vaccine that we take on a regular basis. The data is not fully in yet that we're going to need repeated boosters from COVID vaccines. That may not be the case. The immunity from vaccine and the booster may last for years. That's what it's looking like. But there may be a need to get another booster at a different time. The time is not determined yet, just like how we get booster doses of other vaccines. For the flu, it's annually. For tetanus, it's every 10 years. But this is our current situation will not be like the heightened situation when COVID first broke out forever. It is already not that.
Okay. Well, in some ways, it sounds like we have some good news that we are hearing. And I pray that we continue to hear more and more good news as it relates to what's going on with this pandemic. With that said, we're going to have to take a break right now. Thank you so very much for joining me, Dr. Forbes, here on Influencers on Guardian Talk Radio 96.9 FM. Your host, Lady Shima, here. We're discussing the topic, and that is COVID-19 survivors in for the long haul. On the other side of the break, we're going to be talking about this special grouping, persons who actually suffered or contracted COVID-19, but were in it or they are experiencing it for the long haul. More of this on the other side of the break.
There's this place you can buy quality men and ladies fragrances like Versace and Jimmy Choo for the best prices in town. It's easy to find with lots of parking and great customer service too. Want to know where? I'm talking about Sawyer's Treasures and Things, located right next to Sawyer Studios in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road. Open Monday to Saturday, 9 to 5. Call them now at 361-7299. Got it? Sawyer's Treasures and Things at 361-7299.
Hey, Dad, want a race?
Well, let's see who's trying to keep up with who today.
Oh, because you need a head start?
I'm already way ahead of you, son.
Keep up with what matters. Joint Care supplements your active lifestyle by supporting your bones, cartilage, muscles with essential nutrients. Joint Care helps to reduce inflammation with omega-3 and replenishes glucosamine, a natural compound vital to healthy cartilage and joints. Choose the Joint Care formula that is right for you. Supplex, Complete, and Max are available at your local pharmacy. Joint Care, a part of the Seven Seas family of vitamins and supplements.
ACG Wholesale is the answer for retail grocery store owners and everyday shoppers who want to save big. ACG carries a variety of drinks, snacks, meat products, essential dry goods like rice and yellow grits, plus lots of wholesome produce. And ACG Wholesale is a proud distributor of Borden's Milk, opened Monday to Saturday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., located next to Phoenix Supermarkets on East Street South. Call 392-1155. That's ACG Wholesale with quality service and great prices. Gotta use the
influencers. Welcome back to Influencers. I'm your host, Lady Shima, here on Guardian Talk Radio, 96.9 FM. I am in here with influencer Dr. Nakia Forbes. Of course, we know that she is the director of National HIV/AIDS and Infectious Disease Program at the Ministry of Health and the Wellness. And we are here discussing the topic, COVID-19 survivors in for the long haul. Now, there is this very special grouping, and those persons who would have contracted COVID-19, but yet, after a long while, the usual run is expected to be about 2 weeks, 14 days, and there are those persons who are still experiencing symptoms even after 30 days and even 6 months, and for some persons, even longer than that. Right? And this really garnered my interest as a result of being one of those persons. I've gone through that myself, and I know how it's impacted me and how it's actually transformed and significantly impacted my life. I'm glad that I'm much better now, but I believe that there are a lot of persons who are not necessarily aware of this special grouping of persons. So I want you to take the opportunity, please, and start just by actually giving us a proper medical definition of what is long haulers, aka long COVID.
Well, thank you. You know, and first, let me say thank you for being so forthcoming and sharing be willing to share your own personal story.
Yes, I believe it will help others.
Yeah, we need more of that. Basically, the thing is, we didn't know about COVID long haul syndrome in the beginning of COVID.
I know, right?
When it first happens, doctors were completely unaware of it in the acute phases. And it has even been said that people are largely unaware of it, that many people are unaware that COVID is not just you got COVID, but you felt sick for a couple of days, or worse yet, you ended up in the hospital, but you lived through it. But there's also this long COVID or long hauler syndrome. And these are people who more than 30 days after having COVID, they still are experiencing symptoms.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And these symptoms are varied. Some people can feel extreme fatigue. Even just doing basic tasks, they can feel very, very tired. They could have brain fog. It's very, very difficult to concentrate. The sensation of breathlessness, even doing routine activities like trying to get out of bed, making breakfast, trying to take a shower. Feverishness. You don't have a fever on the thermometer, but you feel hot. That there's racing of the heart, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And feeling dizzy, muscle aches, joint pains, can be belly pain. It can make anxiety or depression or psychological or psychiatric symptoms worse, for example. There can be shortness of breath, chest pain. And those are some of the symptoms. Some people have lost weight and lost their appetite,
mm-hmm.
sleeplessness and sleep disturbance. And it's very distressing. And it's, you don't just feel bad. There are things that you can't do. It may be very difficult to go back to work, just normal functioning,
mm-hmm.
caring for yourself, your family, everyday tasks, for example, can become very, very difficult. Mm-hmm. And it is being studied now. It's being studied by scientists as COVID progressed. Of course, we wouldn't know about a long hauler syndrome when we had the first cases of COVID where people were presenting. And for example, the first cases we saw, we were following them. They wouldn't have manifested these symptoms in the first couple of days of getting COVID. But as we go 2 years into getting COVID and we understand that people are having these symptoms further out, then we understand that there are health, adverse health effects from COVID.
Not can you actually give us some data?
Yeah, absolutely. Up to 40% of people could get long hauler syndrome. And if you've been in hospital, it could be higher, up to 70%. And we're getting studies from various centers now, who's more likely to be affected, for example. And it can be very, very debilitating. And not only that, I mean, it's not just long hauler syndrome. It makes diabetes harder to treat. There are people who were not diabetic before they got COVID, and now they have diabetes and have to be on 3 medications. You could have long-standing lung damage from COVID, heart damage from COVID, blood clots, strokes. There are all kinds of things. COVID is bad for your health. It is.
What about long haulers, the data as it relates specifically to the Bahamas, though? Do you actually have data or the numbers or any kind of an idea as to what's represented here locally?
We don't have a fulsome collection of that data, but I've seen a number of patients presenting with long hauler syndrome, and it's becoming more and more common. And mm-hmm. as we begin to understand this, and like I said, it's these symptoms that it's a range of symptoms. It can be new or ongoing that's happening up to 30 days, months after recovering from the initial infection. Then mm-hmm. we are, and as we raise awareness, more people are coming forward to say, look, I'm having this long hauler syndrome. Now, mm-hmm. something, and I hope you'll share more about your experience, Lady Shima, because we need to hear more about people who are going through this. There's no test for it, one.
Mm-hmm.
And we're learning about how to support it now. And things like supportive management, physiotherapy, occupational therapy, if you need mental health support, all of those things are new and being studied.
There are one or two persons that I know personally, besides, you know, me, myself, who actually they're going through this right now. There is someone that I know who would have contracted it when I contracted August of last year. and they're still dealing with having difficulty breathing after all of this time, right? And there's such a large number of persons, you know, of persons who are not really familiar with this term, and the fact that there are persons here in the Bahamas who are struggling with this. I think one of the things that I can say, one of the most memorable experiences that I have had, even with my own personal journey, was how my hearing was impacted, right? And first dealing with it, birds sounded like they were on a speaker, like they were coming through an amplifier. So a bird would be chirping outside, and it sounded like that bird had like about 7 or 10 microphones to its beak. And that's how loud it sounded in my head. And over time, it got to the place now where it sounds the way it's supposed to sound. But that took several months for me to get to that place. There were times when literally my mind felt like it left and then it came back, right? And so there is a need for a support system. There is a need for knowledge, first and foremost, to be able to identify, to know what it is that the person is dealing with. But I wonder about a support system here in the Bahamas for persons who may be dealing with long COVID and really helping to get through, you know, because eventually they do heal. Persons heal, obviously, at different rates. But you really do need that support system. Is there a support system and grouping for persons dealing with long haulers in the Bahamas?
I agree with you. And you're not the first person to say that that's needed. And I think it would be very helpful. And it will help others gain awareness, because some people go through these symptoms for a longer time than others. Mm-hmm. And it's very distressing.
It is. It is very distressing, especially when you have persons who are talking about it and they're oblivious. They don't know what it is to go through it, right? And beyond being oblivious, they're exceptionally judgmental, right? But then you have these other persons who would have a family member who is either going through it or who's gone through it already, right? And so they have more of an understanding. They have more empathy. They have more compassion for the family that has a family member who's going through it, or for the person, him or herself, who's actually dealing with it, right? And then, of course, it also impacts the job situation too, because, of course, eventually you're going to have to return to work. And then the healing process, and even the way that that's going to look from individual to individual, is going to be quite, you know, different, right? And so I believe that this is even something that the Ministry of Health and Wellness should really take a more streamlined and focused look at, and really probably develop just a unit, right, to cater to persons dealing with long haulers. And even with the way that that's impacting that person's, you know, personal economy, right? Because this is a reality, right? It is part and parcel of the pandemic experience worldwide. Yes, Dr. Forbes, your comments, your thoughts on that?
We do need to study it more. And we are in the process of making clinics, for example, that can support long haulers, where we get referrals and we refer out to the relevant specialists that can help with what the complaint is. If there's palpitations, cardiology referral, mm-hmm. there is physiotherapy, for example, there is evaluation to a pulmonologist if need be. And so we're looking at the medical support for that. We do need more local data on it and more support mechanisms.
Mm-hmm. I know one of the things that I've been reading up on and studying long haulers, not just because of my personal experience, but just, you know, because of my hunger and crave for knowledge, right? And seeing that for quite a number of persons, there was a percentage that I saw, but I don't remember it on the top of my head right now. And that is how the vaccine could possibly actually help with improving the symptoms of the long haulers. But that is something too that has shown some kind of promise with persons who took it and they saw near immediate improvement with the kind of symptoms that they were, you know, experiencing, right? And then I'm thinking too, though, about the fact that there are persons who are more than likely going to be impacted by this long haulers, potentially and unfortunately, for the rest of their lives. There's a case and story that I'm thinking about right now. There is a writer that I used to follow. She had a blog. She was relatively popular. She died of suicide, right? She killed herself. Why did she kill herself? She killed herself because she never got over long haulers. It impacted her ability to write. The brain fog was extensive. You know, she had the psychological kind of an experience there, psychiatric even to a degree, based on her description of her experience. And it became so overwhelming rather than getting better, you know, like thank God I did eventually over time, she kept getting worse and worse and worse. And it got so bad, she killed herself as a result of experiencing long haul.
Oh, I'm very sorry to hear that. That is a very sad
and that's not the only story that I've read that's like that.
I am very sorry to hear that. Let's talk about some of the things that you said. So vaccination. Yes, there is a study that suggests that if you are experiencing long haulers, that symptoms can improve and not get worse for about, I think it's about 50% of people who are vaccinated. And that has been proven in a study that if you're vaccinated, should you get COVID? Well, first, let's say if you have gotten COVID naturally, everyone experiences the natural infection different. So everybody will have a varying degree of immunity after getting COVID naturally. And so it's recommended if you got COVID and you're not vaccinated, get a vaccine because that will help to protect you from getting it again. So if there's a concern of you having long hauler syndrome, if you get the vaccine can work in many cases. It won't make you feel worse. There are studies that suggest that. The other point is that if you're vaccinated, there is a study that suggests that it reduces your chance of getting long haulers if you get COVID. It could be significantly lower. And we just don't know how long people who have long haulers will have symptoms. Some people get over it in weeks. Mm-hmm. Some people take longer to get over it. We don't know if some people will experience it forever yet, because we're still only about 2 years in with COVID in the first place.
Right.
So we believe that people will start feeling better. We already do have data that there are people who are getting over it. Mm-hmm. But we will have to continue to wait and study it. And like I said, these studies are ongoing in many centers to see what's going to be the history of someone who has long haulers.
Yeah, very debilitating, right? And very unfortunate. However, the good news is, though, that there are those stories and there are those testimonies of persons who do get better, right? And I'm very, very glad and very, very grateful that I am one of those persons who, you know, got better. I was not necessarily a proponent for the vaccine, and I would not necessarily say that I am still yet here on my show on influencers. I believe that that is a personal decision that each person has to make based on their varied circumstances and health condition, et cetera, et cetera. However, I can say for a fact my personal experience, and that is that after I would have taken the vaccine, and I really only did, only because of the situation and the promise that it could potentially help. And it did. It did within days, literally within days. There was a marked difference and improvement in the symptoms that I was experiencing. So I just wanted to say that there for persons to know and to hear. But I just really wanted to bring this to the fore. And thank you very much, Dr. Forbes, for agreeing to come onto the show to talk about this, because I believe that this is a growing concern. And I believe that there needs to be more specific and added attention, especially by and including, of course, the competent authority, the Ministry of Health and Wellness, and really speaking to this very specialized grouping here in the Bahamas. I'm talking locally as a result of what we are being faced with here with COVID-19. So I just want to end today's show on a positive note, and that is that there is data to show to support the fact that, yes, more than likely, you will get better and things will continue to improve. Any closing remarks, Dr. Forbes, as we wrap up today's show?
Thank you so much for inviting me, and thanks for being so brave and honest in sharing your story. And it's great to see you on screen, at least.
Yes.
And you're looking well and very healthy. And thank you for inviting me on to talk about our work in COVID. And I'm glad to see that you're doing well, and congratulations.
Thank you very much, Dr. Forbes. Thank you very much. And that's going to be it here for Influencers on Guardian Talk Radio, 96.9 FM, as we wrap up on the topic, COVID-19 survivors in for the long haul. Until next time, blessings.
Influencers was brought to you by
Joint Care, supplements to keep you active. Sawyer Studios, located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road West. Global Transformation Media, transforming you from the inside out. The Affirmation Nation. And Guardian Talk Radio. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.